really enjoyed it, and I says, well, I'm just going to preach it and hopefully be a blessing to you tonight. Now, Psalm 100 and verse 4, if you will. Psalm 100 and verse 4. A lot of the psalms are psalms of thanksgiving. Some of them are psalms of discouragement, troubles, defeat. David prays from the heart. He prays truly and really. A lot of them are praise and thankfulness. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, the older I get, the longer I'm saved, the more I need to be thankful. I need to be thankful. I need. It's like a right diet. The older I get, the more particular you are about how you eat. Amen. About getting enough sleep, about exercise, amen? And the older you get in the Lord, the more aware you ought to be of how much you need to be thankful. And just because I want to praise God and thank God, I'm saved almost 31 years. And would you think that it's easier to praise God now than it was 2 years ago, 10 years ago? No. You'll never find it easy to praise God. You'll never find, that's why it calls it a sacrifice. So don't think, well, Pastor Greg, he must find it easy. No, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Being grateful, thankful, appreciative, especially thankful for the little things, is far more important than getting your paycheck, more important than owning a car. It is more important than having good health. Almost everything else in this life pales in compare to just being thankful. And I'll show you why. Thankfulness is a gift from God. It's not natural to be thankful. Amen? You have to teach your children to be thankful, don't you? You don't have to teach them to burp. You don't have to teach them to fight. You don't have to teach them to be rude. But you do have to teach them to be thankful. Being thankful as a Christian is something that God teaches us. It's something that God works on us about. It is a gift from God. And it has to be sought for. It has to be cultivated like a gardener. Are any of your vegetables and plantings, do they just tend to themselves? No, if you plant something, you realize, man, I gotta get out there and I gotta take care of the thing tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And thankfulness is something that doesn't just happen naturally. It must be cultivated. Or else you're gonna miss the life and the joy of life that God intends for you to have. Father, please bless this study of your word. Bless your people. May we enjoy chewing on your word tonight, thinking about it and applying it to our lives. There's some things we're going to see, and it's going to be hard, but there's some things that are absolutely wonderful, and they will make it sweet. Please bless the preaching of your word tonight as we cap off this day, your day, for Jesus' sake, and in his name I pray. Amen. Now, this is that cartoon I saw. It's actually an Answers in Genesis, and it's got this atheist, and he says, God, if you're real, show me a sign. So he looks out there and he sees all the sky and the color and the beauty, and he says, I'm still waiting. And yet God is constantly trying to show him something. And there are too many Christians who are like, give me something to be happy about. What can I be thankful for? Tell me what God has done for me. And you just look at him and you go, is your heart beating? Are you saved? Think about it. You may not live in much of a house. You may rent. You may be stuck renting for the rest of your life. But you've got a home in heaven that is paid for. Amen. And it is made out of solid gold. Amen. The street just outside your house is made of solid gold. There's a tree out there that every month produces a different fruit. Now that's unbelievable. Every tree I've ever seen always produces the same fruit. Okay? But the trees in heaven every month produce a different fruit. Amen? And so you never get bored in heaven. Amen? Now, if there's one thing that God has starved for, you understand what I'm saying here? It is gratefulness. It is thankfulness. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If there's anything that God doesn't hear enough of, it is thank you. Romans chapter 1. in verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, you say, well, there are a lot of people out there who don't know God. They know God. They just don't know his name. They just don't know that he died for them and that he rose again. But everyone knows God. Or else there wouldn't be religion all over the world. Atheists would overwhelm everybody. You have to teach people out of their faith in a God. Everyone. For when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were what? You ought to underline those words. The root sin of this world is not murder, is not adultery, it is not stealing. The root sin is not being thankful, not letting God know that you appreciate what he's done for you. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one of them was thankful? Did you ever notice that? That is such a slam. 10 guys that were untouchables. Jesus said, "Be thou clean." They looked at themselves, woo, and they took off running to go and tell everybody, look what happened to me. And only one of them went, "He needs to be thanked." The point is, mankind naturally is unthankful. People only love themselves and think of themselves. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Religious people are not much better. As a matter of fact, religious people, especially you go along in your life very long, you start to think that you always were this good. Amen? You know, I'm saved 30 years. 31 years this June. You know what? I know I'm a stinking sinner saved by grace. Amen. I realize the pit from whence I was drugged, and I'm thankful for salvation still today, as if it just happened today, because I know the pit from whence I was dug. And religious people get this idea of, I'm somebody. I know all these great things. I am part of this religion. Luke 18, 11, and the Pharisee is praying. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with who? Who is he praying with? Praying with himself, man. He's not praying with God. God, I... What's he saying? Oh, he's a thankful critter, isn't he? But he's not thanking God for anything worthy. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know what he's got? He's got eye trouble. He's focused on himself. Religious people today only thank God for their goodness and for their greatness. Proud people, do you think they have a problem with being thankful? They think they don't need God. Jesus said it's hard to get saved when you're trusting in riches. Amen. It's hard to think that you need God. Proud, successful people. But do you know even depressed people find it hard to be thankful? Why? Because guess what they're doing? They're only thinking of their situation. They're thinking of their problems. And they forget the God who loved him and gave himself for him. Seems like mankind has a problem being thankful. Doesn't matter who you are. You know what? We keep waiting for something big to come our way. We keep thinking that then I'll really appreciate something. But you know, when you're waiting for God to do something great for you, it doesn't happen. Because he doesn't give you more than what you currently appreciate. And that is the art of being thankful, is being thankful for the little things so that he can give you something bigger, knowing that you will be thankful for it. If God is not blessing you, it may be because you're not appreciating the blessings you have. Ouch. We keep waiting for something big. We think, wow. You know, we're like gamblers. We think, well, if this thing happened, then I'll be thankful. A lot of people say, well, you know, if I got a job, then I will tithe. That's kind of stupid. I think I'd rather tithe, and I would expect God to give me a job then. Amen. You see, we get it in reverse. We want God to bless us, but the Lord says, I already have. And when we take what we have and we're thankful, then the Lord says, I guess I can trust you with more. Amen. Become thankful for little things, invisible things, simple things. And God will start to give you the great things that you think you need, but He'll give them to you because you know you'll be thankful for them. Now, let me talk about, there's one barrier to a grateful spirit, to a grateful heart. It's me. Philippians now, chapter 3. And I could actually preach 2 hours on just this one point. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 3. The barrier to having a grateful spirit is not that you don't have anything to be thankful for. It's the fact that you are part of the equation and you're in the way. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 3 says this, "For we are the circumcision," we're the Jews, "which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in" what? All right. "In the flesh" means in this life. It means if I've got health problems, if I've got car problems, if I've got money problems, am I describing anybody here? If I've got marital problems, if I've got kid problems, if I've got neighbor problems, it doesn't matter. I worship God anyway. And I thank God anyway. You see, if I worship God in the flesh, I'm going to let my neighbors, my wife, my children, my dog, I'm going to let things determine whether I'm thankful or not. Amen? But if I worship Christ Jesus and I have no confidence in the flesh, then I'm out of the way. We all have our wants. We have our plans, our goals, our needs. We all have those. And yet, we end up with none of the things that Christ has for us. Jesus Christ offers us what kind of life? "I am come that you might have life and that more abundant." Does He take stuff away from you? Does He come into your life to rob you? Now, He does take some things away from you. Dead things. Things that'll suck the life out of you. It's called pruning. But when He comes in, He's pruning you that you bear more fruit, doesn't He? But we're afraid to let go of some things. Would you agree with me? So, you have all these things. And yet we cling, we have all these wants, plans, needs, and goals. And yet we miss out what He offers because we're clinging to our past, we're clinging to our plans, we're clinging to our pains. And I want to talk about a word called brokenness. Brokenness is the stripping away of my self-reliance, my self-sufficiency, my self-gratification, and me starting back at zero. You'll never get better than zero with God. You'll never get better than zero with God. You say, "Well, God, I'm glad you've got me. One plus one is all I need," right? No, no, no. Zero plus Him is infinity, amen? You see, you can't help God out. Brokenness is when I allow God to strip away me. Now, once there, once I'm at that place, every little thing that comes my way, I become thankful for. Are you listening? If you meet a wealthy man, you'll find it hard to go up to him and give him a glass of water and him be thankful. He says, "Oh, I drink Ballygowan," you know? Or, "What's a fancy water? You know, what's the water they can sell in the restaurants? You know, is it, oh, I wouldn't drink tap water. You know, that's melancholic water." But if you meet a thirsty man who hadn't had a drink in a day, and you offer him a drink of water, he'll be very grateful, amen? You see, when you're stripped back down to zero, every little thing that comes in your life, you are grateful for. Why is it we're not grateful? Because we have too much. A comfortable man will find it hard to be thankful for a cloudy day. But a person who has worn himself out and is tired and has no home, he'll be eternally grateful for a bit of shade from the sun. I mean, we look out and we go, "Drat, cloudy again." You know what? If you had no roof over your head, and if you lived in the desert, you'd be very grateful for a cloudy day. You see, when you're stripped down, you can look out. I don't care whether it is sunny or whether it's cloudy. Both times, you will be grateful. But if you're Irish, "Oh, drat. It's too hot. Oh, no. It's going to rain. Oh, no. I can't tell what the weather's going to be." Amen. We're not broken. We're in the way. It takes losing to gain. Go to Philippians, you're in chapter 3. Look in verse 8. Yay. Start in verse 7. But what things were gain to me, this was before he got saved, those I counted loss for Christ. I lost them. Yea, doubtless, I count how many things? Paul? You mean everything? You mean if you lost your Apple MacBook? If you lost your iPhone? If you lost your bank account and your opportunity to be able to buy a house, you have to rent, you have to live in a tent, you count all things? Yes, I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen to him. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do but count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want you to understand. As he has lost everything, guess who became more precious to him? Jesus. You know, there's some people in this room who love the name Jesus. Just the name. They love the privilege of just coming to church because it's the only place where they can be real, where they can actually be thankful and be thankful with a bunch of other people and sing a hymn, because at home there's the television on and the filthy language and the troubles at work and the burdens and the problems. And when they come to church and you, no problem, you got your iPods, you got everything going for you. But with somebody who has nothing except what's here, wow, this is a precious place. It takes losing to gain. Verse 9. And be found in him. That's all I want to be. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Not even my own faith, but his faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's all I want. That I may know him. The power of his resurrection. Watch it. That's a high, isn't it? And know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Two great extremes. It's awesome. Being made conformable unto his death. Hey, if you find it hard to be thankful for little things, how many of you have been out driving on a back road, an Irish country road, and seen that? That's a real Irish road, and I've had it happen. And you get stuck because somebody's in the way, man. Lots of bodies are in the way. They're cows. And if you're not moving in your spiritual walk, if you're not growing in your thankfulness, it's because what? You're not being blessed? Because somebody's in your life who's making you miserable? What is the problem? You're in the way. Amen? So now that I've gotten that over with, now we can get on to the message. Amen? Jesus thanked God for simple things, didn't he? Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 6. Jesus thanked God for a small meal. John chapter 6. We talked about it this past Wednesday, and I think it is absolutely breathtaking. Just the simplicity of the words of Scripture. John chapter 6 and verse 2. A great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles that he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So they're all looking forward to this great celebration. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread? Where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Aren't you glad Jesus knows what he's doing? Aren't you glad when he looks to you for an answer, he already knows the answer? Amen. One of his disciples, verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's 200 days' wages. That's a lot of money. Wasn't going to be able to feed these 5,000 hungry men and their wives and children. Verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a what? There's a lad here. He's got a little lunch. But what is that among so many? And I like this because I said it on Wednesday. That little lunch was even less than 200 pennyworth. How much can you make in a day? Can you make 50 euros, 100 euros a day? A penny was a day's wage in those days. So Philip, trying to put together the ideas of, we could probably put together 200 penny worth. But we couldn't, that amount of bread you could buy couldn't give everyone a little. So here comes a little lad. He says, I've got 5 loaves of barley bread. I got 2 fish. And Jesus chooses the smaller supply. Amen? He says, cool. Watch what Jesus does. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. What is he doing? He set the table. Amen. He's got 5,000 men who are waiting for Subway sandwiches. They're waiting for pizza with the works. They're waiting for a big meal. What does Jesus have? 5 loaves and 2 little fish. I mean, you set them down. Get them to put their napkins in their, under their chin. Get their fork and spoon out, amen? And Jesus took the loaves, verse 11, and when he had given what? What was he thankful for? Was he thankful that he had such an immense supply? Or was he thankful for a little lad? I mean, a little kid. It blows me away. Sometimes you don't know what to do, and then your kids say, we're going to be all right. You go, thank you. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you can get a good kick in the rear.
Amen.
Amen. And that Jesus is thankful for the little lad. He's thankful for a little meal. When was the last time you sat down and you, before you started gobbling up that food, you went, thank you, Lord. It's not much, but thank you. You see, that's why Christians are supposed to stop before they eat and thank God. Because every time you find somebody in the Bible getting ready to eat that were right with God, they always stopped. And we're thankful. And if you're not thankful for a simple meal, you're not going to be thankful when God would give you a great gift. He was thankful for a small meal. Look at Luke chapter 10. We saw this morning, but I thought it was good enough to repeat. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. Luke chapter 10. In verse 21 says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, and again, he's got thousands of people following him, but you know what they're like? As dense as a brick. They're not getting what he's teaching. Are you following me? how do I say this? Dan, read my mind, help me. I want everybody to hear this Bible. I want a church full. But, you know, sometimes I have to sit back, and there are people, I appreciate my Sunday night crowd, because I can preach to you and you'll understand what I'm saying. But there are people that come on Sunday morning and they're, I mean, I have to tell them to breathe almost, I'm afraid. They don't get it. If they did, they'd be back Sunday night, wouldn't they? And I could, Dan, look out and say, oh, so-and-so's not here, so-and-so. And it does grieve me. Don't miss the idea. I do go, oh, they should be here, and they should be. But you know, I'm glad for those who are here. Amen? I sometimes want to remind myself, I am Irish now, so I can jump and do an Irish jig and get away with it. Texans can do Irish jigs. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. When everybody was missing the point, Jesus said this, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto, what was Peter? What was James, John? They were babies. You know why you're here? Because you're just hungry little babies, amen? Who just love being zeros, listening to the Lord Jesus. He loved and he was thankful for simple truths. Just the grace of God. Aren't you glad for grace? You'll never fathom the meaning of that word. Just being thankful for by grace are you saved. Not of works. I'm glad for that. People want blessings. I am blessed. How about the love of God? I mean, does it just not blow you away when you just sit back and realize he loves me? And gave himself for me. You know, harlots can understand the love of God. Thieves and publicans could appreciate the grace of God. Children could understand the faithfulness of God. Fishermen could understand the victory of God over sin and over the penalty of death. You see, those infants, those immature, unintelligent, ignorant ones, Jesus was thankful for. Amen. Simple truths. Third thing that Jesus was thankful for was God's specific will. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. In verse 17. He's sitting after the Passover. He's sitting down and he takes two different items from the table after the Passover meal. And what does he do? Verse 17. He took the cup and he did what? He gave thanks. And said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Look at verse 19. And he takes the bread. He took the bread. And what did he do again? Woo-hoo! What's he doing? Watch it. And he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. What's he doing? He's thanking God for what he's supposed to do. He didn't thank God that somebody else was going to do it. He thanked God for the will of God for his life. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to be abandoned by every one of those disciples. He was going to be spit upon. He was going to be rejected. He, a man of sorrow, was going to be acquainted with such grief that no man has ever, ever endured it. And he thanked God for it. What are you going through? What are you facing that God said, I need you to go through this valley? Whatever it may be, you need to look at it and go, thank you. You think I can handle it? You think that it's for a right purpose? You think it is the right thing to do? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Jesus, thank God for the specific will of God. It may not be a big thing. It may just be having tea and scones and coffee. But it's what we need. Whatever God's will is. We're going to talk about it all next week, all next month. Serving God. You know, the best, the most, the highest place of honor in God's kingdom is a servant. And the greatest reward of a servant is when nobody knows about it. When you serve and you get no glory here, God says, hoo-hoo, I'm going to make sure everybody knows about it in heaven. Amen. We should be thankful. I want to start a list tonight. I want to start you thinking about what to be thankful for. And I want to begin with what ought to be on the first on your lips. It is for forgiveness. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to have some people read. Brother Dan, would you start us off with Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12?
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life.
Now, I like that word meet, because if I meet Dan, guess what? We're together, amen? That's a Bible word. When God made Eve, he said, I will make a help, what? Meet for him. Just for him. Fitting for him. Equal to him, amen? And I have been made meet. What? Finish the verse again. Meet to be
partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life.
I have been raised up from a, come on, say it with me, a stinking sinner. That's a Texan term. And I am now meet. I am at the level. I am meeting on the same level as the saints in light. Amen?
Amen.
That's what forgiveness does. Ephesians, we can't go to all the verses through these things, but they ought to get your mind going and your memory going. I've been accepted in the Beloved. That's forgiveness. You say, how does, say it with me, a stinking sinner get accepted into God's family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and Craig? Because I've been forgiven. You need to get a good dose of listen. If there's one thing you're allowed to be Pentecostal about, it's about getting saved. You ought to just shout. You ought to jump. You ought to get excited. Not about all of the blessings of God, of money and of friends and all the other things on the fluff. You ought to just, when somebody sings, glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. You ought to realize, oh, I am saved. Amen. Be thankful for forgiveness. There's no greater gift that you've ever gotten than the gift of forgiveness. God forgave not on your value or on your effort, not because you are so sorry, but because Jesus paid it all. Amen. You should be thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for heaven. But heaven is not the thing that I'm thankful for. Forgiveness is. Heaven is the benefit of being forgiven. Amen? Quit thanking God for your home in heaven. You'll do that for all eternity. Thank God for being forgiven. Second thing, let's move on. Jeremiah 9, Kathy, verses 23 to 24. Jeremiah chapter 9. I guarantee you, in my Bible, I have found 100 things to be thankful for. I'm not going to go through them tonight. I'm just going to start. Brother Tony, I mean, talking about forgiveness, I thought of 1 Corinthians 15:57. Can you remember that verse? But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you thanked God for the victory you have? You say, I'm still struggling with this problem. I'm still struggling with this person. I'm still struggling with this attitude. But why don't you thank God for the victory he has given you, and maybe he'll give you more. Amen. Second one, just knowing God. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, Kathy.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord.
So don't get all excited about your strength and your intelligence and your good looks, but get excited that you know him. Just knowing him. Let me take you to another one. You're in Jeremiah. Go back to left, find Isaiah 57. Did you know what? I found out where God lives. I found his address. Isaiah 57. How many believe he lives in heaven? How many believe he lives in heaven? Amen. Cool, cool. But watch this. Isaiah 57. And Nita, would you read verse 15? Hold. So where does he live? In the high and holy place, in the heaven of heavens. Go on. And?
With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit.
Woo!
To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite and humble.
So he not only lives in an awesome, holy, big, massive heaven, he lives in the heart of a contrite, small, and broken sinner who's been saved by his grace. Found his address. It's right there. He lives in us, and I know him. Hey, when you know somebody, you know where they live. Amen? I know where God lives, and he lives in me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. These aren't in any great order. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Brother Kevin, verses 3 and 4. Did you know there are religious people? The people have tremendous intentions, good intentions, who say you shouldn't eat meat on Fridays. You should withhold from eating this type of food. And, oh, you shouldn't get married and all these things. And they do it all for religious reasons and probably what they think are very good reasons. But let's listen about eating here, just for example. 1 Timothy 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4.
Forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving.
Ooh. All right. So if somebody, now, nobody has offered me tripe, thankfully. don't even get an idea either. I'm not going to go out and buy it. Okay? But there are some things that I really don't want to eat. But if you give them to me, how should I receive them? With thanksgiving. You know, there's some things that aren't healthy to eat. If you eat rashers every single morning, you're going to die. It will harden your veins, arteries. It will kill you. But if somebody fixes them for you, what should you say? Thank you. Amen. Everything that somebody gives you, you should say, thank you. Amen. Everything, especially food, especially. Well, I don't like this. You know, I wish we were back under the Old Testament. Amen. Kids saying, I don't like this. Oh, I think we ought to be back under the Old Testament. Children disobeying their parents. Honestly, we need to raise a generation that is just grateful for what mama's fixed. Amen. Amen. Everything is to be received with thanksgiving. I don't think you can thank people enough. I don't think you can thank God enough. How about every day? Psalm 118:24, Brother Tony. So, what day should we be grateful for? What do politicians always look forward to? Tomorrow, a better day. A better day. We forget, today's a good day. You know what? Tomorrow will be a great day. The next day will be a great day. We should be thankful for every day. There are no days to not thank God for. It may be hard to thank God for certain days, but there, every day fits Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord hath made. So tomorrow you wake up, health's not good, get fired, the cat dies, that's good. Car won't start, the sink is backed up, and so is the toilet. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Stop letting the flesh, stop letting the things affect your praise to God. Amen. That's a command. Look at another one. Philippians 1:3, Dina. This is just one verse. There is so much here. Philippians 1:3. I think that's very unique. Dina, I would expect that is something your husband could say. I say, Tony, how's Dina? Oh, she's wonderful. Amen. I mean, it'd be sad if I said, how's Dina? He went, who? Upon every remembrance. You know, when you think of somebody at church, when you think of your family, when you think, do you give thanks for them, or is it only when they're doing something great and awesome and, wow, that's my son, that's my husband, wow, that's my neighbor. Is that the only time you're thankful for? Upon how many remembrance? Every time you remember Kathy, be thankful. Every time you remember Pastor, rejoice. Every time you remember Kevin, pray for him. I thank my God upon every remembrance. Now, that doesn't mean that everything they do is perfect. Amen. I'm not sure how to take that one. But honestly, and just a thankful spirit is not somebody, everything's perfect, everything. No, hold on. There are times where you have bad days, but you know what? Don't think about them. There are times where you have to deal with a problem, but get over it. The Bible says, all of a sudden my brain goes dead here, says about faithful friend, he covers a matter and he doesn't repeat it. Oh, just on my mind, I was going to look it up. But the idea is, you don't keep digging up the past in somebody's life. You imagine, you ladies that's had babies, all right? You may not remember it, but leading up to having the baby, you know what you constantly said? Can't wait to get this thing out. Oh! no more. That's what you said. Every woman says it. Then in the birthing room, you know what you did? We're not going to repeat what you did. You screamed, you yelled, you threatened your husband, everything. Then the baby was born. Can you imagine if 20 years later, you're still looking at your son saying, oh, you don't know the pain you gave me. Oh, I'm never going through another birth because of you. Can you imagine growing up with mama remembering the pain of that childbirth? Amen. Are you listening? You better let it go and start being thankful for the baby you got. Amen. Now, man, most of the time, God wired it that happens naturally. But we dig up the past, and it's wrong. At every remembrance of everybody in this room, you ought to thank God. Amen. At every remembrance, what are you laughing at? At every, maybe it ought to bring a laugh to you, I don't know. At every remembrance, it may not be much you can be thankful for. But you know what? The things that are to be thankful for ought to be the things that you think about. Does that make sense? The things to be upset about, don't be. Are you listening? Upon every remembrance, I thank God for good memories. If you don't have any good memories, which is highly unlikely, by the way, then make some. Make some good memories. You say, how do you make good memories? Serve. You're never going to be happy until you just serve the Lord. You serve others. You bless somebody. Every believer in this Bible made eternal memories by just living for Christ. You ought to read Hebrews chapter 11. That's those people. They were sawn asunder. They were destitute. They lived in deserts and in caves. They had highs. They had lows. But every one of them went, wow, what a great life. Amen. Oh, Kemi, 1 Timothy 1:12. Wow. Did you know you were put into the ministry? Not that you may be preaching, but you were designed by God for a purpose. Amen? You were designed by God to do something in the body. You may not be the mouth. Some of you are. You may not be the eye. You may not be the ear. You may not be the thumb. But you're a part of the body, and you have a purpose, and in that design, you need to thank God that He put you there. You may not do the great, obvious things of somebody up front, but you're just as valuable, amen? I've said it, I don't know it to be true, but I've read it, that if you lost your great toe, you actually have to learn how to walk again. It is very important to your balance. Did you know there are tiny little hairs inside your ear? I'm not talking about the ones on the outside that are coming out. I'm talking about the ones all the way in the inner ear. They're tiny little hairs. And if they're not feeling well, you can't get out of bed. You get what's called vertigo. Those little hairs sense the motion of the liquid around them. And if they aren't feeling well, you're flat on your back. Those little hairs are very important. Amen? Thank God for your purpose. You say, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, you're looking maybe for a big thing. Be thankful for what you are doing, and God may move you into a bigger one. Amen. For your purpose in life. Acts 28. This is cool. Acts 28, 15. Heriberto. Acts 28, verse 15. Appii. What gave him courage and what caused him to thank God?
For the three
No, go back. He wasn't thankful for the three taverns, no. He must be coming in an Irish town. Start back in the beginning of the verse. Somebody help him out. When the brethren heard that Paul was in town, they went to go greet him, and he went, my family, the brethren. And he was thankful for just some other stinking sinners saved by grace. Listen, how can you love those who you are not thankful for? Paul loved Christians, every one of them. To him, they were family. Some were a nightmare. Some of them in the Bible treated him really cruelly. Some of them accused him of wrongdoing and blamed him for their troubles. Paul said, no bother. I love them. He was thankful whenever he was around them. You know, he overlooked a load of faults and he just loved the brethren. Amen. You know how you love the brethren? Thank God for them. When you're sitting down to pray, you need to pray for Bill tonight and you need to thank God for him. You need to thank God for the friend he's been to many of us in here. You need to thank God for his faithfulness to God. You need to thank God for his wife. You need to thank God for the example that they are. You need to thank God for the brethren. You need to thank God for Brother Dennis. You need to thank God for Brother Kevin. You need to thank God for Brother Eddie. You need to thank God for the brethren. Because you could be stuck here in a town where there is no church. You could be stuck trying to find your way through every week and have no Christians around you. Thank God for the brethren. Especially when they come up and they say, I love you. Oh, I love you. Man, I haven't seen you in too long. Amen. Take courage. Thank God for the brethren. We should be thankful for what we have right here. 2 Corinthians 8. And Tess, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 16. Now, it seems kind of like, where's that coming from? But Paul is thanking God that another young man named Titus, God had put a concern for the Corinthians into Titus. And he said, you know, Titus has my heart. Titus has the same care as I do. And he thanked God for fellow helpers. Because Paul couldn't do what he was doing alone. He knew how hard it was to convince men to give up their livelihood, to head off with him on a crazy missionary journey every couple of months and start churches. And so when Silas was not the greatest of spiritual giants. You know what Silas did when Paul was in prison and after being beaten? Silas crying. Silas wants to go home. And Paul's like, come on, Silas, let's sing. And Silas's like, I can't sing. But you know what Paul didn't go? Well, then go home, you baby. No, you know what Paul said? I'll sing anyway. Maybe Silas will pick up. And as he sings, it becomes, you read there, it says, and they sang. Now the point is this. Paul didn't have the most incredible spiritual giants working with him. He was a zero, and he was glad when anybody worked with him. Aren't you just glad when you've got so much to do, and then somebody shows up, and they don't know what they're doing, but at least they're there to help? Thank God for fellow helpers. Thank God for Timothy's and Luke's and Aquila and Priscilla. Paul was ecstatic when anybody helped him because what he was doing was not the popular thing. Are you listening? Oh, it's popular to be invited to play a match for Manchester United. It's popular to be the chief executive officer of a big company like VMware. To go with Pastor Craig or go with Brother Kevin and start a church, It's a miracle when God brings a Dan and Kathy Eberly come along. It's a miracle when a wife comes along with you and stays with you, going to the mission field. I thank God for fellow helpers. You better thank God. Somebody comes along and helps in so many different ways. Thank God for the fellow helpers. You don't realize how many people give of their time so that you can sit there and enjoy the fruit of the labors of people who are volunteers in this church. for those in authority. Oh, why did you have to throw that in there? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Watch your Bible. Sarah, do you want to read this? Or Shane, would you like to read it? 1 Timothy chapter 2, real loud, verse 1. Listen to this. It's 1 and 2, by the way. Honesty. Oh, that was sweet. So notice, is it easy to thank God for that person who's just fixed you meals every day and brought you breakfast in bed and washed your filthy clothes and I don't know what else do men do? And I got your attention, amen. It's easy to thank God for somebody who's doing all these wonderful things for you. It's a lot harder to be thankful for all men. Look what it says. It says you need to pray, you need to intercede, you need to give thanks for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Are you thankful for Enda Kenny? I'm surprised at how well he's turning out. We better be thankful for him, because we could have gotten a lot worse. Do you pray for them? We're supposed to. Everyone in authority. Are you thankful for them? Are you thankful for your boss? Amen. Amen. Are you thankful for your husband? I mean, looking at that man that you said you would honor and obey and you love all your life. Do you know why God doesn't make him handsomer and more beautiful and more loving? Because you're not thankful for him. You say, I better get thankful quick, because I'm going to kill him otherwise. Amen. Kids, you better thank God for your daddy. He is the authority in your life, and you better thank God he's your daddy and not somebody else. You better wake up and realize you got a good thing when you got a Christian dad. If you are a kid in this room and your dad's saved, you're a miracle kid. Because the saved dads aren't out there. You better be, well, you don't know my dad. He's saved. He's a gem. You better pray for him. You better thank God for him. You better love him. Amen. Your pastor. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I am here to tell you, you ought to thank God for me. Is that sitting there roasting? No, I'm telling you, it's safe. Because if you want me to be better, thank God for me and I will get better. If you don't like me, I'm just going to get worse. That's a spiritual rule. Amen. Thank God. I love this one. Go to Psalm 30. We need to be thankful forever. Psalm 30 and verse 12. Sarah. I love that. We ought to be thankful forever. Amen. Not just today. Not just when I feel like, but I'm just going to stay thankful forever. Oh, I think this is so cool. Philippians 4:6. Martin. Philippians 4:6. You need to be thankful. It's part of prayer when you thank God. Again, I tried to give you a little bit of talking this morning about that reading our Bible involves prayer. You know, these things are all intertwined like spaghetti. Prayer is part of reading Bible. Reading your Bible is part of prayer. Thankfulness is part of praying. You can't pray without being thankful. Brother Martin, Philippians 4:6.
Be
careful about me, for in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving,
yes,
your request be made known.
How many of you have forgotten when you're praying, be honest, how many have forgotten to say, oh, by the way, thank you for listening. Thank you that you're going to do something about this. I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. Thank you in Jesus' name. How many forget to say thank you in your praying? I wonder if that ruins it. What if that stops the answer? Because we forget to thank God. It's part of thanking. It's part of praying. Another thing, when talking. Oh, this one I want to preach now. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Kira. Nope. All right. Allison. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. You ought to be thankful when you're talking. Wow. So, in verse 4, filthiness, do people know how to talk filthy? Do you know how to talk filthy? I bet you do. Maybe some of you have gotten out of the habit. I thank God for that. But neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. What is jesting? Making fun of people. Now, you know I kind of do it on an occasion, but sometimes I'm careful and I go, oop, did I push too far? Did I say something that hurts you? Because I don't want to do something that's the opposite of what God commands, which are not convenient, but rather, what should my conversation be? But rather, giving of thanks. This is absolutely practical. You need to thank God for everything. You need to thank God when it's raining. Hey, what is it? What is it? I already mentioned just a little while ago. When do you ever really sense of people around you who are grateful for what they have? Just not there. But we ought to thank God for everything in our conversation. You meet somebody, oh, I'm glad I got to see you. Just instead of, well, I tried to run. Amen. Thank God for people putting up with you. Be thankful in your speaking. Thank, hey, write a letter to Enda Kenny and just thank him for doing his best. Tell him you're praying for him. Amen. Thank God. Go to your boss and say, I'm grateful to be working here and you're really an amazing guy or woman trying to deal with all these things, and I really enjoyed working under you and working in this division or this department. Amen. Be thankful. I bet they won't be able to breathe for 10 seconds realizing what just happened. Be thankful. Matthew chapter 5, when trouble comes and when you're persecuted, go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Okay. Dennis Scuffins, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. While you're turning there, Daniel chapter 6 is the chapter where Daniel is tricked. He's trapped because he always prays every day. And in Daniel chapter 6, the other politicians make a law so it's illegal to pray. And he goes ahead and prays anyway. And if you read Daniel chapter 6, it says, when he went and he opened the windows, knowing that he was going to be thrown to the lions, it says, and he bowed towards Jerusalem and he thanked the Lord. You see, we thank God in the Western world. Thank you, Lord, that we have a church where we can freely pray. Amen. We can freely preach. But what if it wasn't so easy? What if it was illegal? See, Daniel, thank God, even in tough times. Dennis, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. So when everybody's against you, what should you do?
Rejoice.
You must be doing something right, amen? That's a good habit to get into. We should be thankful when nobody likes us. Go to Psalm 6, 5, Brother John. Psalm 6 and verse 5. You should thank God while it matters most.
For in death, there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?
so these lips can thank God. Now in heaven, I'm going to praise God, but you know where it matters? It's easy to praise God in heaven. Amen? But it matters now. It matters that these lips, that this heart, that this mind is engaged, and whether I feel like it or not, that I go ahead and praise God. Do you think in heaven you'll feel like praising God? Do you think you'll feel like worshiping and shouting and singing? It'll become natural in heaven. But here, it's not always natural. It's not always easy. So thank God when it matters. Marcus, thank God even though it seems strange. Psalm 18, verse 49. We're almost done. Psalm 18, verse 49. Do you think he stood out when he was in a crowd of people rooting for Manchester United or Barcelona and they're all shouting and he goes, praise God! Woo! And they look at him. But that's the picture. Among the heathen, I will still praise God. Even though it is strange, I'm going to go ahead and stand out. And when everybody's praising their team and their captain and the coach, and I'm going to praise God. Amen. Last of all, you need to thank God even though it may cost you something. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, Marion. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. So the praise of God, the giving of thanks, is called a what there? Called a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when you made a sacrifice, what did it involve? Usually a lamb or a goat or a cow. Well, not a cow, but an ox or different things. And what happened to the lamb when you gave the sacrifice? What happened to it? It died. Hey, you heard about the pig and the chicken. And breakfast was coming and the farmer came out and he had a axe and he had a bucket. And the chicken goes, breakfast is coming. And the pig goes, for you, it's an offering. For me, it's a sacrifice. Pig was going to eat, and then we were going to make, you got it, okay. When you offer the fruit of your lips, thankfulness to God, what will it usually be? A high cost. It may cost you actually humiliation, embarrassment. It can take, it costs you everything. But he's worthy, amen? He's worthy. 1 Timothy 2 says the same thing. We don't have time. Let's just, 1 Peter, thank you. Thank you for correcting me. 16 out of 100 biblical things that we're thanked for. You can start trying to find the other 84, or you can set on a goal of thanking God for 1,000 things and see how long it takes you to get there. I don't think you can thank God too much, do you? I don't think you can say thank you too much. It might be kind of funny where I say, she says something, and I say, thank you for telling me. And she says, well, thank you for thanking me. And I say, well, thank you for thanking me for thanking you. But you know, that's a sweet spirit where you're very grateful for each other. Amen. You know, every mom in here ought to have somebody who always say, thank you for fixing this meal. And then the mom say, well, thank you for thanking me. Well, thank you for accepting my thanks, Mom. Just taking a moment and realizing, let's just be thankful here. I don't think I can preach too much about being grateful. I don't think that God minds just being appreciated for everything. I don't think he minds being thanked every moment of every day. I don't think he'd ever get tired of it. And it means just start being thankful. Just start. Doesn't matter if it comes naturally. Start saying some nice things about people. Start saying some nice things about Jim. Amen. I have to begin tonight. Start saying nice things. Start saying nice things about your situation you're in. I take a good look and say, I lost my job. But bless God, amen. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be at zero, and I wouldn't be grateful for little things. Amen. Did you hear what I said? If you lost your job, if things are going rough, it may be God stripping you down so that all of a sudden the little things become good again. They become special. They become precious. They become worth being thankful for. You're going to have to just start saying thank you, whether you feel like it or not. You know what the Bible says? The next verse after Martin read there in Philippians 4:6, the next verse, Esther, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Next verse says, and the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts. Amen. You see, thankfulness allows God to move in and protect your heart. You say, but by being thankful, I'm being nice. And every time I'm nice, somebody hurts me. Wait. When you're being thankful, God protects you. Amen. He'll keep your heart. Be thankful, man. If you find it hard, realize it's okay to ask God for a thankful heart. He'll help you. You know what he promises? He promises to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You got a hard time thanking God? Ask him for that garment of praise. Take note. Take note every day of what you're thankful for. Honestly, you ought to have a notebook that's your Bible study notebook, but you ought to have pages in there where you just write, I'm thankful for. And then just start listing it. And then when you do write those things down, don't just write them down, but take a moment and thank God for them. Thank God for your husband. Yeah, I know you do. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your calling. Thank God for the brethren. Thank God for the Bible. I mean, how could we stop? You are what you think about. And if you're not thankful, it's because you're not thinking about the gifts that God has given you. And the more you think about them, the more you become like Christ. Because even when he faced into the crucifixion, he thanked God. That's him. He was thankful when nobody got what he was talking about. He wept when he went to the tomb of Lazarus and nobody got the idea that he could raise him from the dead. But he says, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to show how great you are. Thank God. See how long it takes you to get to 1,000. Get into a race. Somebody in this room, you could take one a day. Pitiful, take you 3 years. I think you could thank God for more than one thing a day. Amen. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer.